Hebrews chapter 11, verse 8 through 16. So the title is By Faith. Actually, I should put By Faith Obey. So we can see this as we read the scripture. We go to Hebrews 11, verse 8 through 16. And it reads, By faith Abraham obeyed, and when he was called to go out to a place that he was to receive as an inheritance, and he went out, not knowing where he was going. By faith he went to live in the land of promise as in a foreign land, living in tents with Isaac and Jacob, heirs with him of the same promise. For he is looking forward to the city that has foundations, whose designer and builder is God. By faith, he says it a few times, by faith, it's an action word. It's our will being put in motion. Oh, you're changing that. By faith, Sarah herself received power to conceive, even when she was past the age, since she considered him faithful and promised. And therefore, from one man, and him as good as dead, was born descendants as many as the stars of heaven, and as many as the innumerable grains of sand of the seashore. These all died in faith, not having received the things promised, but having seen them and greeted them from afar, having acknowledged that they were strangers and exiles on the earth. For people who speak thus make it clear that they are seeking a homeland. But if they had been thinking of that land from which they had gone out, they would have had opportunity to return. But as it is, they desire a better country that is a heavenly one. Therefore, God is not ashamed to be called their God, for he has prepared for them a city. So God, by faith, it says, Abraham obeyed. Obedience means, back to that song, your will be done. Obedience means choosing the will of another, not our own. And here, obedience is an expression of something. It's an expression of Abraham's faith in God. When he steps out and obeys God, he says, your will be done. Even though it doesn't make sense, I'm as good as dead, I can't produce any children. You know, and he's going somewhere he doesn't know. And he steps out. It's an expression of his faith in God and God's ability to actually fulfill the promises he makes to lead him to a land, to give him children, to make him a blessing to nations. He was believing, God, you're able. That's faith. That's obedience to his will. He responds out of that call. And so, there's this call. And then he didn't respond to that. Okay, this is what you believe. Okay, I'm responding to that. No, he's responding to God. The Creator summons him. He hears God speak to him. It's not like, okay, I'm going to respond to this opinion. I'm going to respond to this belief, this theory. Oh, there's a migration thing happening. I better join in. No, he's in the midst of this. Settle down, and God says, go, and I'll make you. A little bit different. Jesus says, follow, and I'll make you. Here he says, go, and I'll make you. But here's the thing is, he's responding to God. It's a will of another. By faith he obeyed. That's what it says that. Now we're going to read actually from Genesis chapter 12, which is next. But before we go, I just want to give you some context of the call. In Genesis chapter 12, it's actually chapter 11 of Hebrews, referencing this call of Abraham, or Abram at the time. And I want to talk about the context of it, because it helps understand. A lot of people don't understand this. This happens just after the Tower of Babel. The Tower of Babel happens, all the nations are scattered. And so here, who does that? Do the people do it, or does God? God purposely gives them different languages, confuses them, and they go off to the different, become the different nations. Different language groups are spread out. And then he says, Abraham. And he calls Abraham. So here's his summons to Abraham right after this. So you have to look at this in God's bigger picture, his big story. God scatters them because they're actually going to try to do something he doesn't want. He scatters them, and he's going to choose a man named Abraham. Send him to land. We've got to see that he's like a missionary seed. A man that God calls. He's going to plant in a land who eventually will produce another seed called Jesus, who then would be a blessing to all the nations. So he scatters them so he can win them over by planting one man in the land. And sometimes we have to understand it, because sometimes we always make it just about the land. Land is an important part, but there's more to it. It's about being a blessing to the nation. It's really, its ultimate purpose is recovering all of creation. And so here's his purpose, his call. I don't think Abraham goes, okay, God, you got that, I'll do this so we can make
sure we fulfill this plan. He's just doing his part right now. And sometimes we don't, that's important for us to understand. When God calls us to be faithful in something, it's not just for that moment. There's something bigger that's going to be unfolding that we're a part of. And we have to be faithful in the part we're called to. The call of Abraham is a significant part of outworking of God's plan and God's bigger picture plan. Let's read it. Genesis chapter 12, verse 1 through 9. Now the Lord said to Abram, go from your country and your kindred and your father's house to the land I will show you. I don't know if that shows up on a map. It says, the land I show you. there's no map here.
No.
So it said, and I will make of you a great nation. I will bless you and make your name great so that you will be a blessing. And I will bless those who bless you, and him who dishonors you, I will curse. And you, all the families of the earth, shall be blessed. Remember that scripture of Isaiah 46, 10, I was referenced? He declares the end from the beginning. Here he scatters all the nations, chooses a man, and says, I'm going to make you a blessing to all the nations. He's declaring the end from the beginning. God's going to make sure it happens. And so Abram went as the Lord had told him, and Lot with him. Abram was 75 years old when he departed from Haran. I don't know if everybody knew that. He was 75, and he said, you're going to have some kids. You're going to have a nation. They're going to make you a nation. And Abram took Sarai, his wife, and Lot, his brother's son, and all their possessions that they had gathered, and the people that they had acquired in Haran. And they set out to go to the land of Canaan. When they came into the land of Canaan, Abram passed through the land and the place of Shechem to the oak of Moreh. At that time, the Canaanites were in the land. Then the Lord appeared to Abram and said, didn't just talk to him, he appears. Now, it doesn't say before, but he appears to him and speaks to him. To your offspring I will give this land. So he built there an altar to the Lord who had appeared to him. From there he moved to the hill country on the east of Bethel and pitched his tent with Bethel on the west and Ai on the east. And there he built an altar to the Lord and called upon the name of the Lord. And Abram journeyed on, still going toward the Jib. Anybody know what the word Bethel knows? It means house of God. So he pitches his tent between the house of God, and anybody know what Ai is? It's the town where the Israelites were defeated because of their sin after Jericho. Mm. So in this journey, it's interesting, he pitches his tent between it. So it's like us. We live in this land between the house of the Lord and also the life of sin. And he calls us, and we're walking this journey. We're always going to be in this midst of this until we get there. So that's not part of it. I just read that thought in that. I got to share that part. And so it's like us. I'm remembering that we're not fully mature yet. And we're still going to be tempted. We live between those two all the time. But can you imagine that? I just started thinking about this as he's called. I thought of Abram. This is one of my acting out things. I just had to do this. He's out there with the goats. He's milking the goats. Hey, Abram. He's out there and says, go from your country and your kindred and your father's house. He's like, is that my brother playing a joke on me again? You know, you think of him, he was real. Like, we think of Abram like he was like a superstar. You know, he actually lied so he wouldn't get killed. He did lots of things that weren't right. So he was just like us. He lived between Bethel and Ai. And he still fell sometimes. So he's this real person. I think we have to see him that, like, the humanity of Abram. And so he hears it, go to your country, your kingdom, your father's house, to your land that I will show you, and I'll make you a great nation. I will bless you and make your name great, so you will be a blessing. And I will bless all those who bless you, and him who dishonors you, I will curse, and you and all the families of the earth shall be blessed. I wonder, like, is he like, who's talking? Because we don't have anything about him talking to God prior to this. So we don't know if he had a history of it. What we do have as a history is he went with his father wherever his father was going. So his father left the home on Ur to Haran, where his father dies. And then the call comes. So he's responding. He's following. But basically, he's under his father's covering. And he's responding. Now it's like time to make your faith your own. And he hears this. I'm wondering, how does he hear it? Does he, like, is it like, you know, he's wondering? And then I can see, like, it's like, when I tell Nancy, I'm like, I heard from God. Yeah, let's hear this.
say, like, you ain't gonna believe this. No, I'm not.
Yeah, I just think of these conversations we all have as husband and wife sometimes, and he comes in and he's like, this is what he said.
Who? Which God?
God, the creator. Because there's a culture of many gods. And he tells her, and she's like, yeah, you're right, I'm not gonna believe this. And you said, where's this place called? I will show you. Yeah, you just don't know where you're going. So, I mean, I think I just imagined this conversation. But here, at some point, what about his brothers and sisters? Or his brothers, rather. He didn't have sisters, but his brothers. Or brother that's left now, the one that had passed. His family. And they're thinking, what are you, crazy? You heard a voice that you didn't see a person? And you're going to go somewhere you don't know where you're going? That he said he's going to bring you? And he said he's going to make you a nation? You're 75, Abram. This is the conversation he's in the midst of. How does he? But your will, God, be done. And he's going to make you a blessing to all the nations of the earth. This is the conversation he's probably having with them. Or maybe he didn't. He didn't say it because he would think that. Sometimes we don't want to share stuff with people because we think they're not going to believe us. They're not going to believe me. But it doesn't matter what anybody else thinks. Back to the song. Not my will, but yours be done. Abram responds by faith and obeys God. So when it comes to faith, and obedience, guess what? There's always a risk. There's always a cost. Always. The first thing is he doesn't forsake his family. Comfort zones. Familiarity. Support systems. What happens if David Caroline moved to Japan to be missionaries? There's no longer your brothers and sisters around, family members to help. That whole year, you're into a whole other land. There's a cost. He's actually leaving that all behind. What's the potential of being misunderstood? You're crazy. Mm-hmm. You're crazy. Being judged. Being ill-spoken of because you're doing something they don't like and don't agree with. That's part of the cost that's happening here. And the other one here is control. Another one, right? Control. Abraham's faith and obedience would also be going to a place he didn't know how to get there, didn't know what it was going to be like. He just knew God said, go. This is like us on our faith. We come to Christ, we just said, I know he's called me. I didn't read this and say, oh, I believe something different now. I know personally for me, I opened this book and Jesus jumped up. And I met somebody. And I had a sense like, I'm going to a different direction now. Not because I believe differently, because that's why I know somebody now. And that's what's happening here. And that's like, so his picture of Abraham's life is like our faith. At some point, he awakens us. We don't fully understand what it means to go forward in Christ or where he's going to lead us. But we know we got to go. We know this is the direction. And sometimes we don't like what he's telling us, right? Like Nancy was talking in her song, like, really, God? But we know this is the right way. Guess what? I started thinking about this. This is us as a church. We're in transition. God's summing us all here to this point. Now we are going to say, God's will be done. And we have to actually respond to him and watch for him to lead us. We may not know, we don't know where it's going to lead. We don't know where we're going to go, how it's going to happen, or what it's going to be like when we get there. But we're going there. Right? That's really what it's like. And so Abraham is really a picture for us to hold on to, that we can too. We're called to be the same way. So the picture of faith is our faith. But you know what? People don't. Hey, does anybody like to know, like to go somewhere so they don't know what's going on? Or who likes to be the driver? Choose the way we're getting there. We like to control, be in the driver's seat.
taking it, giving up our control. We want to say that. That's something for me personally. I want to appear that I've actually got it together. That's an illusion. For all of us, control is an illusion that causes us to miss God and not experience the reality of Him working through our life. It's us working through our life, and we won't say it, but we take credit for it. Because we know we've done it. But when we let go of control and give it over to Him, we can experience God in a way we could never have done before by having control. And so Abraham learned to experience God there. He was willing to go, not knowing where it all led. He just knew that it was right to go. He just knew that this is what he was supposed to do. And he headed out. Abraham's security was anchored not in his ability to control, but in the God who had called him. And see, he learned and matured in his faith and obedience because he experienced God by giving up control. And it's the same for us. I want to experience God. I want to know God. It's like letting go of control and moving out into a place. It's like stepping out into the unknown with the all-knowing one. That's what it is. And then we actually get to experience Him showing up in ways that we could never make something happen. He calls us to do things. That's where we experience God. We're talking about in that book, Experience God. That's where we encounter God. That's where we reach mature. We mature our faith and our sense and confidence in God the more we step out and experience God by giving up our control, giving up our will for His will. That's where we experience God. So let me ask you some tough questions. In what areas of your life do you need to let go of expectation? Even control and expectation go together. What areas of your life do you need to let go of expectations and control? In what area of life are you, or even us as a church? This is important for us to think about us as a community, not just as individuals. Where are we trying to manage and control an outcome or a time that we would prefer happen? Or are we willing to walk with God faithfully? Abraham had one child. Oh, he had two, right? But he had one that was a promise. He was faithful to take care of the one God gave him. God called us to be faithful when He gives us. He wants up faith on his journey with God, and he got to the promised land. He comes to the promised land, he pitched his tent and lived in the land of promise, and he obeying meant living by faith. So if you can actually go back to the other one, Dave, sorry. You live by faith. He says you obey by faith. He says by, actually, I think it's like verse 9. Under 10. By faith he went to live. So by faith he lived. This is important. He talks about living. He lived in the land not as an owner, but as in a foreign country. So he gets in the land of promise. God promised you, I got here. It's not yours. You're a foreigner here. And he has to learn how to live as a foreigner. He doesn't own it. He gives up control of it. He has no rights there. Abraham, why? Because he was looking forward. He looked to a city that has foundations and Zion and builders God. So he is tense. There's no foundation. There's no security. Looking forward to a place that was unshakable, permanent, uncorruptible. This is contrast, he's saying. This is not our home. There's another place waiting. So when you see, like, Abraham called and said, go. It wasn't the land he was looking for. From this, it's clearly he was looking for more than land. He was looking beyond this life. And see, Abraham looked way beyond that. And clearly, he was looking for something beyond Canaan and beyond having a son or children. Abraham's ultimate hope was this heavenly country, a heavenly city. He knew he could not find that here on earth. The thing is, do we kind of look like that, though? Are we looking for it here? So Abraham lived in a land of promise, living for his God and God's greater purpose. And he and his household says he lived in tents. It was a temporary dwelling. It wasn't permanent. But they didn't put down roots. They didn't put down roots. One of the Thursday nights we shared about this a little bit. Nancy brought up a devotional talking about not putting out roots, and it's important. They didn't put down roots. The tents, they put the tent pegs in. Guess what? Move to the next area. It was constantly never putting down roots. And I think here's a life of faith for us. We're not meant to put down roots in this earth. The more we put down roots here, the less.
blessed will look there. And need it also not just put down roots here. Don't let nothing of this world put down roots in me. What has rooted in us that holds us here? And so it's important to consider that. What is rooted in you? That's another question I've thrown. So I haven't thrown a couple of questions today. And what if this world has found a place to root in you? For most of us, we lack understanding of what God's really prepared for us. We actually get focused on this. We get landlocked all the time. We get focused on the things of this life. And it's a tenement. We live here. But we have to continually look beyond here. Actually, scroll all the way to, this is treasure. There's a small one phrase on it. Dave, sorry.
The next verse.
Next one. Yeah.
Next one.
Next one.
Oh, there's another one.
Yep. Keep going. Yeah. Well, there you go. Luke 12:34. Where your treasure is, there your heart will be. And here he says, his whole treasure constantly was not on land or a son. Though he was living there, he lived by faith in those things. He was constantly looking for something beyond here. That's where his treasure was. And for us, as followers of Christ, the first treasure is Jesus himself. That's the treasure. Where our treasure is, there our heart will be. And so here, Abraham has this, how did he keep from being rooted? How did he keep from things getting rooted in him? His treasure was in the final city, the heavenly city. It says, actually, we won't go back, but I read the scripture. It says he acknowledged he was a stranger and exile on earth, and that they made it clear that this was not their forever home. Anybody talking about having their forever home?
Yeah.
We want our forever home. And clearly, he was acknowledging this place was not his forever home. He was looking for a home that was beyond this earth. I say beyond this age, because this earth will be back, because heaven and earth are joined together, and we'll live on an earth. But a renewed earth, a recreated earth, a earth that is not like we see today. He's talking about this age. He knew that his home was not here on this age. It was beyond this age. And so this longing, this hope for the heavenly country would not allow him to go back. That's what he said. They're consumed with this. He wasn't even considering to go back to Mesopotamia. Did they say that right?
Yeah.
Yeah, close enough. Huh? or Haran, or whatever. Or even back to his ancestral belief systems. See, he didn't go. Those were not the things that were drawing him. They were things that were drawing him forward in heavenward all the time. That was where his treasure was. And it's important we do the same thing, that we keep our heart focused there. The thing is, they recognize their true position as citizens of heaven and aliens here on earth. Life is not the end of it all. It's just a pilgrimage here. Do we live like that? Do we? Hey, we talk like that. This is important. We talk like that. Yeah, I'm an alien and a stranger. You know, I'm an exile here. But then I live functionally like this is my forever home. Okay, I know I'm not the only one. This is a challenge. I was thinking about this. This is important. This is so what is keeping our hearts so locked here that we function in a way that not thinking that way. When we talked about during the Bible study, I was thinking about this phrase. Like, this is not my home. This is not it. I'm an exile here. And we have to live that. We have to understand that. We have to acknowledge. They actually spoke it. This is what they were. And they lived like that. And I want to challenge us to consider that for our own self. To the summons of God started them, hit him on his journey, but his heart was anchored in God and the promise of God's future. And God would enable it. And God would bring it to pass. It says that he lived by faith in the land of promise. He lived. He didn't just hang out. Okay, let's hang out and wait till it happens. Let's wait for the end. You know, as a young Christian, you know, the beliefs, you know, there's a wait for the rapture. You know, it just you just don't sin and wait for the rapture. And it was like waiting and waiting. No, Abraham lived. He occupied. He planted crops. He pitched a tent. He raised animals. He had chickens. So he lived. See, is that what he lived? When he says he lived, he didn't just hang out waiting for the end to come. He lived for the good of his community. He lived in the land by faith. So even though he was looking forward, he lived here in light of there, knowing that he was called to bless the nations. We're called to bless the nations. That's what we're called to be. We're part of Abraham. So here, he understands it. So he lived by faith. He lived and he engaged life. And now God promised to produce offspring. This is a big one. 75, his wife was past age. That's a word in the Greek meant opportune time. He said he was as good as dead. That didn't mean he was about to die. It meant that he physically was beyond the point to produce seed, to produce life. Here are these two older people, incapable in human standard to have children. And God says, you're going to have children. And it says, past opportune time, past the age. They live by faith, past the age. In that, so man's standard, the opportune time is done. Someone would walk into the church and say, the opportune time for you guys to be in church is done. God's time, God's opportune time is different than man's. Maybe personally, you might think, like, the opportune time for me to bring salvation to people's life, I'm done, I'm too old now. The world's standard for opportune times is a lot different than God's opportune time. And they lived by faith in that land, participating in the activity to produce life, even though they knew they couldn't. Because God said so. We're here. We will participate in the activities of what it means to be a living, breathing church on this earth. Trusting that God will produce the life He wants to produce through us to be a blessing to the nations. That's what we're called to do. So here's this opportunity. It may seem like it's past time. It's never past time. Amen. God has a different timing than man does. So we have to think that way. And he could only think that way because he knew God. He didn't know a police system. He didn't know the right laws to obey. He knew God. We need to know God. I know God. And we should not be ashamed of knowing this God who's called us to be His people on this earth. To live with heaven as our home, citizens of heaven, exiled here to be a blessing to everyone we encounter. And that God has an opportune time for every opportunity to bring life forth through us, even when it appears it shouldn't happen.
Amen.
Amen?
Amen.
Now you know kind of what I've been dwelling on for the last month or so. and I'm saying it by faith, but inside I'm wrestling with it. I'm not going to lie to you. I look at things in the natural and I think, oh, no. This scripture, past age, good as dead. God says, no, not good as dead. We have to think differently and we have to confess differently. It's important. Amen?
Yeah.
And Abraham and Sarah knew that God had made a promise. It couldn't happen, but they had to cooperate with God. We have to cooperate with God. It's not going to happen. They didn't just sit around, okay, God's going to make you pregnant, Sarah. No. It didn't happen that way. And what we hope that God would bring forth through us in life, in ministry, and love for people cannot happen unless we cooperate with Him and submit not our will, but yours be done, God. Comes right back to by faith, let's obey. His will, not ours. As a result, they're participating with God in His timing. Because they actually they go, you know what, it's not going to happen now, Abraham. Why don't you have my mistress? They're trying to make the timing. They're trying to control the outcome. That just causes problems.
Yeah.
But God's timing is different. But God didn't abandon His timing, though, even though they did. And sometimes we may step out of line. God still has a timing. And so remember that God's faithful to His purpose, what He declares from the end. From the beginning, he'll make happen. But they were faithful to live by faith, cooperate with God in their part, and yet God gave to them this child. They enabled them, and they enabled them in their part. See, they were faithful in this part, which they received Isaac. He said, you're going to be a nation, and your children are going to inherit the land. They never saw that.
But they were faithful to cooperate with God and what God was doing in them. And the unfolding of God's plan was continuing way after death. And see, we have to understand our life matters, not just for now. A lot of times we think, like, God, what are you doing? And like, in the back of our mind, we're thinking, how is it going to benefit me? We're thinking of our own comforts. But see, there's an unfolding plan that goes way beyond our life. And we have to understand our life and our choices matter, not just for our life, but beyond our life, for our children, our grandchildren, beyond them. I'm grateful for the men and women that have gone before us, that lived out faithfully their purpose that got to me, that I could know Christ. Amen?
Amen.
And so it means for us the same thing. And so we live faithfully in the part that God gives us here and cooperate with Him. And guess what? We'll get to see God move in our life too. And we'll see the unfolding. The last verse. A little bit longer today, sorry about that. No, I'm not. I'm loving this scripture, this section. And here it just is encouraged after the chapter of the people of faith. You know, we need to let go of control and expectations. See the things, what is rooted in us, and what in the world is rooted, what are we rooted in that shouldn't be? Do we acknowledge that we're strangers and exiles? Do we acknowledge that we're citizens of heaven? Do we understand our real forever home is not in this age? Are we living by faith? Are we faithfully cooperating with God and leaving the results to Him? Leaving the results to Him. That's the important part. And then it says, as a writer writing, therefore, this is for us, as we close here, since we are surrounded by so great a cloud of witnesses, read all of chapter 11. These witnesses who lived by faith, just like Abraham, we're surrounded by these witnesses. They speak to us of the testimony of God's faithfulness, not their faithfulness. God's the one who was faithful in all of it. Let us also lay aside every weight and sin which clings so closely. Let us run with endurance. It's a race. It's not just a quick sprint. It's an enduring race. We're called to run. It's set before us, looking to Jesus, the founder and perfecter of our faith, who for the joy that was set before Him endured the cross, despising the shame, and is seated at the right hand of the throne of God. Amen.
Amen.
Amen. Amen. Let's close.